So there's nothing better than when you have somebody in your corner that helps you dream bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. And then you share something with them and they help you make it happen. And so just very casually, I started a podcast. It's called...
Yeah.
It's called Own Your Thrive. And I wanted her to be my second interview. But then when she kept telling me that 8 is a number that comes up often for her, I said she was going to be my number 8 episode. And then the second piece is I was saying to her, oh, my God, I can't wait until one day I can do this live, you know? And she says, well, do it live today. So this is my first ever live interview.
The built-in audience. It's like Oprah and Gail up in this. Okay.
We look young and we look
good. We look young.
Great day, amazing humans. Yes, welcome to the Own Your Thrive podcast and Empowered in My Skin production. My name is Nkechin Wafa Robinson, and I am founder and CEO of Empowered in My Skin, an experienced technology executive at one of Canada's largest financial institutions, an author, an International Federation of Bodybuilding pro athlete, an inspirational speaker, and most recently, a viral sensation after my You Matter speech hit over 3 million views worldwide. This show is all about thriving. And I will be bringing on some amazing humans that own their thrive to help you figure out how you too can own yours. So please leave a review on whatever medium you are listening to this on and make sure to join along on the web at empoweredinmyskin.com so you can be notified when new episodes are available. For now, I'm your girl. Let the show begin.
Okay, yes, here we are. Amazing humans, so excited for this next episode of Own Your Thrive podcast. This is a dream come true because this is my first ever live interview, and I'm here today at our 100 Strong and Sexy Cycle 5 finale. The theme of this event today is Beautiful Me, Natural as Can Be. And on the eve of International Women's Day, put your voices together for Miss Julie Black!
Thank you.
So this is a really interesting interview because I've known Julie for 23 years, and I've not yet interviewed anyone that I've known for that long. And so I know a lot about her. I've lived a lot of life with her. But I don't know how she's going to answer these questions, but I know that they're going to be good. So listeners, you're going to want to pay attention. This is Masterclass with Julie Black. The first question I have for you, Ju, is as you look out into this room, I just want you to take a look. This is a result of God's work on your life. A result of your purpose to be a bridge. And we all want to know, what are you feeling in this moment?
I'm feeling gratitude. I am feeling that I recognize that God is a God of restoration, for sure. This is a manifestation of the other side of grief. I believe we could turn our grief into something very powerful, and we could turn our trauma into triumph. And so as I see all of your faces, all the beautiful faces in this room, it lets me realize that thoughts become things, and what you believe, you absolutely become. So, yeah.
I love that. Thank you. Thoughts become thins, and this is a beautiful thin that you've created. And Ju, I see you in your thrive, and I've seen you thriving over the years. And at every stage in your life, as I've watched you grow and become the person that you are on today, it's been a beautiful journey. But I want to hear in your words, you know, talk to us about that journey.
Whoa! Let me be real island right now. Lord Jesus. The journey. My first funeral was 3 days after I was born. Wow. Because I'm a twin. Many don't know that. And so going through my life, I've always felt like somebody was missing. But I always felt like I also had a double purpose. My mom didn't know she was having twins. So that's why I'm very, very supportive and connected to like the NIC units and stuff. I think if they had that technology when I was born, that maybe my brother would be here. I realized that throughout the journey, there's been a lot of loss turned into something powerful. And there's a part of that I'm actually working on. I'm in therapy right now to really get to clear that. Because thoughts do become things. When you often, you're going through life and you think that, well, okay, this bad thing happened, so I guess something good's around the corner. Like that, even that thought has to be eradicated, you know? And so, but growing up, I started singing at 6 years old in church. I knew I could sing good. But I say that to say in church, I didn't know what I was doing, but I knew that what came out of my mouth had people raise their hands and cry and worship. And so I knew I was doing something well and right. But fast forward, there's been a lot of loss. Like my mom was ran off the road by my dad's mistress, 1984, on the 401. And we got the call that your mom's dead. And she wasn't. And so imagine seven kids huddling, you know, just in the stairs, like, you know, it's just crazy. Like we were all just crying, like we have no mom, you know. And so in that, you know, my mom being able to come out of that and tell us that it's her faith that got her to push the door open, crawl out the rubble, and hold her head as it was split open. And she looked down the 401 and she saw this woman smoking a cigarette laughing. And fast forward, that same woman who was a friend of my mom's, she ended up getting killed by a taxi driver. Years later, my mom wept. My mom dropped to her knees and she said, she was a mother. She's a mother. She's a mother. And I looked, at that point in my life, I learned forgiveness. I had no idea what forgiveness was until I saw my mom show us that, you know? And so all of these stories and all of these things I witnessed in life, that was 84, 1990, my 24-year-old sister, Sharon, my favorite sister, triathlete, vegan, artist, just turned up with not feeling well on Boxing Day, 89, 1990, January 10th, dead. Two kids, didn't know. So all this I'm seeing as the youngest of nine children. And still, I watch my mom still have her thrive, still have her faith. And, you know, so there's so many things that has happened throughout the journey. But what I will say in summary, and I want everyone to really take this to heart, is never lose the song that plays in your heart. There's always a song that played in my heart. And at one point, it was 2009 when I was experiencing some emotional trauma, that the song stopped playing. I couldn't hear the music of my heart anymore. And I realized that there was other work to do. So all in all, the journey still continues, clearly. And it's really about my joy bank now. Some of us read a book, 5 a.m. Club, Joy is Our GPS. Joy needs to be our GPS. If it's not bringing you to joy or bringing joy to you, it needs not be in your life.
I love that. Never lose the song that's playing in your heart. I love that. That's a takeaway for me today. So living life on a public platform has its own unique challenges. You know, I got a small glimpse of what that might be with my video that went viral. But I got it in a time in my life where I've done a lot of work. And so I know who I am a little bit better, and there's great comments, but there's also those one-off ones that you can take a little bit too seriously. Mm-hmm. How has that journey been for you, as that exposure for you started at such a young age, before all of what lives inside of you today existed? Mm-hmm. You know, where are you now that would have made all the difference in the world at that earlier stages in your life?
Oh, my goodness. I mean, if I could tell, I got my first record deal at 14 years old in New York, signed to Sony. And so there wasn't social media. Thank the Lord. But if I could tell my 14-year-old self something now, it would be like as cliche as this may sound, is that you're enough. You're absolutely enough. You don't need to do double cardio. You don't need to only eat egg white. You don't need, like, all of these things, like I put on my social media for a long time, I didn't like the gap in my teeth. I hated it. You know, and there's so many things culturally, some of you may relate, where it's, oh, la, your nose big like your granny. Or, you know, lad, your head tough like your father. Or like just all of these, lad, how you black some? Like, like, what do you? And so all these seeds were planted. And it's like relative to who and why. And so the judgment that happened back then, I'm like, wow, if I could tell that little girl, like, you know what? You're enough. Yeah. You're enough. That's it.
And you are absolutely enough.
Thank you.
Absolutely enough. So I met you in the gym.
True story. I hope you tell
them. We were very, very different then. We're going to get to the old stories in a second. But yeah, so yeah, met her in the gym. Met her as Julianne Indira Gordon, right? And then I met Julie Black. And what I want to know, is, and if you could share with us, is Julianne Indira Gordon versus Julie Black. Where do they intersect?
She's coming with the, who's Oprah up in here? She Oprah. I'm Gail. Shoot. Okay. Right. Okay, super sexy Sunday. They already got the song. We're going to do super sexy Sunday. Yeah. We need to do like a sass Sunday thing. She's like, stop it. We're planning a whole other event now while we're up here. Cycle? Sex. Sexy sex. Yeah. Where do they intersect? Julianne and Indira Gordon and Julie Black. Or what, you know, doing Carolina Change recently? Mm-hmm. I recognize that thank you. Carolina Jane, shout outs. Thanks for coming. The intersection is authenticity and being totally transparent. So truth is the intersection. So they've now, like, Julie Black does protect Julianne Gordon. And that's what I recognize. Like Beyonce and Sasha Fierce, you could create your own alter ego. Don't talk out loud and walk street hunting, but don't answer yourself. You could talk to yourself, but don't answer yourself. That's you know, I think that's the rule of thumb. Anyway, you know, it's, if you think about being 5 years old, and then, you know, then you're 12, like Rebecca, and then you're 16, all of those former ages and people, they've actually died. They don't exist anymore. And so what Julie Black has taught Julianne Gordon is the impermanence of seasons, of letting go. Like, you cannot attach to people, places, or things. Detach. And because I'm in the music business, knowing that I do albums and then there's a different, you know, video and this, that, I can't be attached, not even to the hairdo, because the hair change whole heap of times, right? So, but we go through life, and recently it's come to me through Carolina Change to get rid of the word, using the word as much as possible, my. My husband did this. My wife. My mom died. I didn't own my mom. The woman that gave me life has transitioned. The my caused the grief to try and put its foot in my neck for too long. So as I realize, hey, you know what? This ownership, my ex, he ain't your man no more. Even trying to call him yours as the ex, that no make no sense. Yes. Right? Yes. So think about it. You're holding on to the pain, the my. Oh, my workout wasn't as full. I didn't, my ownership. You know, even Jodianne and anybody else who's experienced any sort of diagnosis, my mom left this gift for us as she was transitioning. She said, my body has cancer. I don't. Don't own it. Nah it. Right? So that's the intersection between Julie Black and Julianne Gordon. Like, you know, and some people as artists, like, don't even want to, please call me this because this is my stage name. And then this is where being from the hood, when you have to box and kick and people don't know I got stabbed up and all gunshot. People don't realize the things. Nikkei's laughing because you don't know. When gunshots went off and everybody dropped flat and a wig fly off. You know, you guys don't know what I've seen, right? So it's like, yo, Julianne. yeah, Nadira Gordon called me. Yeah, that's me. You know what I mean?
All one. Love that. Thank you. So I don't even know where to go. I have two I'm going to do both, but I think where I want to go from that is, as you talk about ownership and you talk about mine, there's an old story plays in your life. Yeah, there's old stories. There are people that try to come with old things in new seasons. And how do you handle that? Because there's been so much growth work, and there's still more. So when you hear that old story, you know?
Well, there's two things. One is the old story that the old recording playing in my own mind that I often have to choose a new thought, Gabby Bernstein vibes. And then there's those people in my life who want me to be the hood girl, want Jane and Vince Julie, because that's comfort for them. Some people don't know how to communicate unless you're arguing. Unless you're disagreeing, you know what I mean? And so, number one, I think you really and truly need to have a confidant, a trusted person, like, Hank knows, like, you've been, all hours of the night, be like, but we don't anymore. But to know that this woman right here loves me in an instant. It's not with conditions. I don't even say unconditionally. No. It's in an instant. And for those who have children, you guys would know, especially that kid could go kill off, and like you can't unlove your kid. It's in an instant. Same thing. Our friendship was in an instant, and so when that old story comes up, you've challenged me. Like, don't get it twisted. We're not besties. That's like, yeah, girl, f him. Oh, She'd be like, nah, Drew. I don't see it that way. Or have you thought about it this way? You don't need yes people in your life. Right? And so yeah, and for me, for the old story, I'm an advocate of mental health, and especially Black mental health, breaking the stigma. There's so much going on in the Black community, and, you know, people of color who, my gosh, we've been suffering in silence, not recognizing that the emotional trauma. I was thinking about it. I was like, wow, my twin died, my sister died, my mom died, my other sister died, all this. And then it's like, okay, yeah, you're strong. Oh, you a strong Black woman. For my white sisters in the house, how many people have come up to you and say you're a strong white woman? You're just as strong. Oh, you're a strong South Asian woman. You're a strong Asian woman. So Black woman in the house, bonfire, you need to eradicate that. That's the label. And that is a projection that is causing us to suffer, that is causing us to not get the medication we need when we're having babies, that is causing us to not get the positions in corporate, that is causing us to not speak up, that's causing us to perm our hair. Right? So just, you know what I'm saying? Mental health, the health of your mind. This, don't get it twisted, where we're going together, that's one thing too, eh? It's always about the level up. God doesn't call the qualified, he qualifies the called. God does not call the qualified, he qualifies the called. So many of us are hearing the call, not picking up the phone. Pick up the phone. You don't need to know how to do it. How are you going to learn how to do it is pick up the phone. There's a messenger there. Right? So, sorry, I'm leaning in. I'm getting hype.
But I love that. That old story, do away with it. I always say, introduce people in your new season. If they come with the old story, just say, actually, let me introduce you to who I am on today. My name is Nkechin Waffle Robinson, right? Yeah. And now let's have a conversation.
Right.
Yeah. So you touched on Caroline. Let's hear it again. Caroline or Change, that musical. Wow, I got to see it 3 times. Different vantage point each time.
Okay, now that's best friend love, okay? She didn't get no free ticket. She paid all 3 times. You get what I'm saying? And some people, oh, what do I get for my $100? What do I get for $1 a day? What do I get? They're like, yo, this pastor said you come to church and you put in your offering and you're like, give me a blessing. And you put in like a toonie. You know what I'm saying? Like, you see what I'm saying? She came to the kink probably 15 times. I'm not even joking. And on the flip side, because this is the thing, everybody has a stage. like a stage, right? She speaks and she does stuff in corporate and in tech. And we had this conversation. I had to let her know, hey, I want to come to events with you. Can I come support you as Julianne Indira Gordon? I don't even have to. I'll hide in the back. I'll take off my wig. You know? But just show up for your people. Show up.
Yeah, she shows up for me. Yes.
Show up. Yeah, that was at Engstock. Yeah, for Sun Life. My eyebrow, them look good, though, you know. The eyebrow look nice. Micro ombre, permanent eyebrows.
So now the question. So Carolina Change, I'm going to take you back to May 2019. Because anyone that came to watching the show, for them, that was the day. For me, I remember when you told me there's this musical that I've been asked to be in, right? So, which is when I believe it was May about 2019 that you're asked, was it?
Well, I was asked
earlier?
Earlier, but May is when we, like, I kind of made
okay, that's decision. When I got the first, yeah, okay. Yeah. So, early. So let's go back to when you were originally asked.
Okay.
Okay, I want you to go back as far back as that. Mm-hmm. How do your thoughts of the musical then versus the magnitude of what actually happened, how do they compare?
Wow. So let me tell you. So December 2018, they asked, so let me fast forward. Let me go back, actually. So there's a series called Uncovered, and it's when they pay tribute to, like, it was Joni Mitchell, Carole King. I think we were doing an event that time. Yeah. So I realized that I needed to do something that basically scared me. And so this musical, and had never done a musical before, and it was like, okay, well, this is like songs that I know, so let me just do it. It was cool. So I was still playing it kind of safe. But I went there with, I didn't know anybody, no entourage. I showed up every day, did the rehearsals, and immersed myself into a new community as a student. And it's in that, just reverencing the art of musical theater, and going in, admitting and sharing, like, I have no idea, like, what to do. Can you teach me? Mm-hmm. And some people still had, like, a bit of the starish whatever vibes towards me. I was like, no, I need to learn the damn tune. Like, I don't know what I'm doing. Help. Right? So in that humility, and the show went well, the director was in from New York. And his name is Robert McQueen. And he told Mitchell from Musical Stage Company, he's like, that's our Caroline. This is what he tells me, right? And so that December, I was sick. Remember, I had a bad cough. So much so I had surgery on my vocal cords. So there's so much more to the testimony. Anyway, so they asked me to be Caroline, and I was like, no, that's, I know I wanted to feel the fear, dude, anyway, but that's way too scary. Way too, like, to be the face of this musical, to learn 29 songs, to learn dialogue, to study the 60s and the civil rights movement. And I haven't done school a long time. Who am I going to go back to school? The brain was like fire. I could smell smoke in my head. like learning. Lord Jesus, right? Anyway, so I said yes. I asked them. And this was back to value versus currency. I said, if you could have someone, like the musical director and the director, if you could have them commit 1 year, I'm willing to give 1 year of my life to this every week, 52 weeks. I'll give 1 year if they could give 1 year. Mm-hmm. And they're like talking about budget and this, that. I said, no. I said, give. I'm giving 1 year of my life to this. And because everybody else started January 2nd, 2020. Yes. So for one whole year, I got to know Caroline, but I got to know my mom and my aunties. I start realizing the story of being afraid to change. Simply put, being stuck. And so that, if on the other side of it, anything in life that you, like, you, whoever you are trying to become, you need to train.
Mm. Ooh. Oh, that, write that down.
Whoever you're trying to become. I've never said that in my life, but I recognize. If Kobe Bryant, whatever, God rest his soul, you understand the greats do the work. Mm-hmm. You do the work. So many of us have settled for mediocrity. And looking for some breakthrough and Holy Ghost fill water baptized, nothing now come to you, not ready. Right? So on the other side of it, I'm like, oh, you know what? I think I want to do Color Purple on Broadway. Oh, I think I want, like, now I've never thought about that in my life.
Yes, speak it. Yes.
Like, in my life.
Yes.
And I have, you know, have three scripts. This is one thing I have to share with you. Three scripts that are in my inbox. So I'm feeling frightened again now. Mm. But I was like, but I know what's on the other side of that.
Right?
Come true.
And I think that fear is actually also helpful when you move through it, because you know on the other side of it, you're gonna be that much bigger.
That's right.
Who you want to become, you need to train for it.
To train for it.
Ooh, I love
you
that.
Need to train for it.
So this is the second part of that too. So which was harder, getting into the role of Caroline or saying goodbye?
Ah, that's a good question. Lord of mercy. Whew.
I was waiting for that question. That would make.
But what I realized is that I didn't. Any of us at any time, if we live our life with empathy, we'll have that much more to offer. Caroline, being able to sympathize, yeah, but I became this woman. I could feel her emotions. Sometimes we'd finish 10:30. I didn't leave the theater. I was leaving with the maintenance man. Real talk. It's at 12:30 at night. But I could take her off. So I'm a woman of faith, and I prayed, and I fasted, and I did what I had to do spiritually. It's like Heath Ledger with Joker. It's not a joke. It's spiritual. And so many of us are walking through life with these old spirits because we have not forgiven. We're judging ourselves. We're not kind to ourselves and others. I'm telling you, I wish everybody in life, I get God gave me a gift, but I challenge you to sign up for something theatrical. It could be a tiny, tiny thing. It's so therapeutic. Because when you stop thinking and you become, when I was like, oh, this woman has four kids, she's raising by herself, her husband used to beat her, she beat him back, she divorced him, her son's gone off the war, she can't read, she's getting $30 a week, this person's trying to give her some jingles for a raise, all these things, I'm like, if that were me, Lord, what? And then it came. We all have that opportunity. And that's where forgiveness comes from. This year, I had laughter with the man who molested me from 13 to 15.
Wow.
Actually.
Wow.
This year. 2009, I sent him an inbox message in Facebook. They thought I was trying to write a book. Went through the family. She's just trying to write a book. Smear campaign. Fast forward, saw him at a funeral. Said, like, I forgive you. I forgive me, so I forgive you. Fast forward this year. I was on FaceTime with one of his family members, and there was some joke thing happening, and laughter happened, and I spoke to his family member, and I said to her, she said to me, he went online for the first time this year and actually looked at how I'm doing in my career. He couldn't even look and see how I was doing because he was carrying that much guilt and shame. And so that bit of laughter actually freed him, because that's trauma too. Yeah. I wouldn't choose it, but I wouldn't change it, because God gave me a stage now to set other captives free.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm telling you, it's not a joke, man.
And I love that. I wouldn't choose it, but I wouldn't change it. It's such an important message for all of us, right? Because we carry so much. We can't ignore it. It has to be part of our journey. And I see you celebrate, and I see you forgive. And so thank you for that beautiful, beautiful spirit. So I'm at a part of rapid fire, so this should clear it up a bit before I get to the last hard question. So when you think of thriving, who is someone that comes to mind and why?
Well, you. Do I have to pick somebody else? I'm not allowed to pick you?
No, somebody else. Somebody else. Somebody else.
See? Somebody else. No, I'm going to pick you. This is me being almost millennial. I pick you Because number one, you always, when you decide, this is the power. She's taught me the power of decision and to not go back. You decide and you fall forward. You move forward. You never go back. And it's mindset, actually, right? It's to know that this woman has never had to apply for a job, brethren. People see her. Yeah, clap up for her. Clap up. But once you'll get to know her story too, because it hasn't been the easiest road. But you're unafraid to share, especially recently, you know, how you felt about your beauty, how you were raised, your family life, all that stuff back in Montreal, etc. So people like to look upon the end result and think this is where we began. Right? So, I mean, I'd need a whole hour to talk about why.
Thank you.
You know.
Thank you. I appreciate yeah, she that. Just, thank
you. Yeah, man. Trust thank me. You.
Thank you.
You.
What is a book that has helped you with your thrive?
Book clubbers. What are book clubbers in the house? Woo! Most recently, The Illusion of Money. Woo! Kyle Cease, Lord have mercy.
Yeah.
Yes,
is,
you guys have
everything.
To read that book. I think for C6, we're going to make it like a recommended book.
Yeah.
Please read that book, The Illusion of Money by Kyle Cease.
Actually, I have to share because this happened this very morning when I said to my husband in that book, because he read it as well, it said, I have to be okay with the possibility of our relationship falling apart. That's the only way that it can be a real space of freedom and actual love for both of us.
Whew.
Like, that's big. I wish.
Come on now. Come
book
on
is
now.
Everything. You have to read it. Okay, what is a daily activity that helps you with your thrive?
A daily activity that helps me with my thrive. You'd think it would be exercise, right? But I'm not going to be.
No.
Constant conversation throughout the whole day with God. Like, I talk to God like
yes.
He's my, I always say
yes.
God is my brethren.
Yes.
Like,
yes.
I just talk to Him. Like, the other day, I've decided to talk to my mom. So anybody who has a loved one who's passed away, okay, hands up. Doesn't that be a parent? Anybody lost a loved one? Do you look it? We share this experience, right? So this is what you do. This is what you do. You tell them. I say, hey, mom, I need you to go down the hall. Knock upon God's door.
Oh.
Tell him to put my petition at the top. This is what I need.
Oh, wow.
No, it's working. It's working. I'm telling you. Yeah, it's new. So all of the people went dead. Put them to work. Put them to work. Them up there sit on and chill. No sickness. They don't even have to eat. Them not have to beard. Them not have to comb them hair. Could you imagine? Everything's taken care of in heaven. Put them to work.
I love it. I had to interview her to get that piece of nugget.
Put them to work. Go down the hall and work.
That's the best nugget.
But only thing is, I told my mom, because she's omnipotent now, right? She's everywhere. Don't come in on my bedroom. You can't come in and see some kinky things where you're not approved.
And the last of the rapid fire, what is a misconception of you as you are in your thrive?
Full circle, the misconception is that I'm always okay. There's times where I'm always busy. There's people that, oh, you're so busy. My phone doesn't ring most of the time. For real. Oh, yeah, I just thought you were busy. Oh, you're so, oh, you must be busy. Oh, you must be busy. Lord Jesus, me and my dog, Skinny Pop, and some wine. Because I'm always busy, always busy. Like, call me the man, Jesus. You know? Trust me, that's a major misconception.
I love that. So she's not always busy. Okay, and so today, on the eve of International Women's Day, what does it mean to you to be a woman?
To be a woman in 2020, especially being Caroline in 1968, to be a woman on today is to be bold, is to make noise, is to move the dial and create space for other women. Michelle Obama said it. It's not good enough for us to be the only one in the room.
Yes, yes.
Stop making that your badge of honor. I'm the only woman of all men, you know, corporate this, that. I'm the only woman. Bun fire. To be a woman on today is to be selfless. Straight up. So that's and that's my bold ask for, and you know, raise your hand and offer to be like, you know what, I want to, for example, there's a museum in Calgary that doesn't have any, barely any women, but they don't have any black female artists in their museum at all. Not Salome Bay, not Liberty Salome, nobody. Okay? In the past, I might have sent an email. No. On today, the director was so happy Julie Black's in Calgary. We want to give you the 90-minute tour and take you out, on the back and the front and the da-da-da-da. And so, as I noticed, like, they said that Drake and they had The Weeknd and they got Chaos and they got Maestro. I was like, all right, cool. I said, but where's the black woman? Where are we at? Because they have Shania and Celine. Like, this is big things. Google it. It's a big, big thing, right? But rather than live up to the stereotype of being angry black woman, is how can I be on the committee? I want to be a board member. I have something to offer the conversation, yeah. Right? And so there's no one could keep you from your destiny.
Yes.
Nobody.
That's right.
So even if you think, oh, I might ruffle feathers, I might lose a job, on the other side of what you think is a loss is your bigger breakthrough.
Yes.
Right? On the other side of it. So, yeah, we have to be, again, fearless and just speak up. So that's where I'm at on today, to be a woman. It's our time, ladies, like, for real.
Thank you.
Like, if you guys don't know, or you're just finding out right now, it is the woman's, it's the season of the woman, and it's not changing.
Yeah.
It's not changing as you decide to play small, sit on like a church mouse, and don't say nothing.
Yeah, thank you.
No more church mouse.
And also from that conversation, because she did share that with me, there was something that she said that I thought was so profound, and it changed my game, because I am in rooms that often I'm the only woman that looks like me and sometimes the only person of color. But she said, you know, what had happened to her, somebody said, oh, we're working on it. And she says, no, you don't need to be working on it. You need to make a decision. So what decision are you willing to make today? I was like, woo! I was like, I gotta use that one. I'm just waiting for that opportunity. So thank you. And you know, I as we close, I wanna thank you. She's more than a friend. Friends get into the boat and row along with you. Spiritual partners tip your boat to teach you how to swim. And you continuously do that in my life. And I thank you. You hold me accountable to be a good person. And I learned this week the power of what 3 minutes and 17 seconds, that's this video that was posted that Goldcast posted, 3 minutes and 17 seconds can change the world. And you teach me how to use my voice so quickly.
Thank you.
Thank
I love you.
You are, I look out of this room, you're the epitome of love, leadership. You are beautiful. You are natural as can be. And on this Women's Day, on this Women's Day, I celebrate you.
Thank
more
you.
Than
I
a friend.
You.
Yeah, I love you. Thank you. There you have it, Miss Julie Black. Yeah. Woo!
Woo! We did it.
Yeah.
So there you have it. I hope you're thriving and thoroughly enjoyed this episode. And remember, whatever medium you are listening to this on, please subscribe, like, review, and share this podcast with somebody else that you think could benefit from the tips that were delivered. Because when we share, that is truly when we have the capacity and the power to change the world. It's been awesome hanging with you. It's your girl, and I'm out.